We're going into our next lesson on our Bible characters and their message. And we're going to look at not the most favorite Bible character in the world, but it's Judas Iscariot. There's going to be a lot of verses here. And you notice on your note cards that I did for you, there's a lot of verses here. And we're going to try our best because it's important to go through this. Judas is one of those characters that in the Gospels, his name is not mentioned a whole lot. And so it's spasmodic where he's mentioned. And we're going to piece this together because there is a line of activity in his life, what he did here, a line of activity with Judas. Let me first give you a little about his family background. Judas was a very popular name, and I'm going to refer to this a little bit later on in the lesson, what I mean by that. It was a very popular name, like, believe it or not, like Robert or James or Bobby, or, you know, a common name. It wasn't like, you know, Emery, you know. Emery's not a common name. I had a professor at Houston Baptist University in Old Testament that threw me under the bus. He wrote a book at the end of life, and he wrote a book, and it was a real neat book. It was about that thick, and it had in there all the answers to the fill-in-blank questions of all the time he has ever taught at Houston Baptist of the answers that his students put in there. And it's hilarious because you don't want to turn a test in with blanks. Put something in there, Mickey Mouse or something, you know, but put something in there. So he thought it was very hilarious, so he that's what he did. So he wrote a book, and he shared all these answers that these theologues, these students, put in there. And at the front of it was a dedication page, and he goes on where he's dedicating the book to his students over all these years who provided the source of his book, and you know, but he only did their first name, you know, like Jenny and Albert and Bobby and John and Emery I'm going, how many Emerys are they over there? Have they had over there? So yeah, I got hit up at school a whole lot about making Dr. Collins's book because of my answers that were not the right answer, but I got out of there. But Judas was a common name. And you're going to see later on what I really believe happened. It's a very common name, but he ruined the name. He ruined the name. The name means praise of God, became a name associated with betrayal, and with treachery. And Judas is the Greek form of the Hebrew popular name Judah, and so he had a good name. He just misused it with his behavior in his life. Judas also, his name Iscariot, simply means son of Kiroth, or a citizen of Kiroth. It was a town and everything. So he was the praise of God from this town, and it's a small village just south of Jerusalem, the same area where the prophet Amos was born. That town of Kiroth is mentioned in Joshua 15:25. So this is where his name comes from, and it had a positive meaning to it, praise of God from this town of Kiroth. The third thing about Judas is Judas was the son of Simon Iscariot. Simon was a very common name. We had a lot of Simons in the Bible. His father's name was Simon. It was his surname, but Simon Iscariot, being a surname, it distinguished him from any other form of the 12 who was named Judas. If you know later on, what happened to Judas, and we're going to get to it, I can just imagine that there was some men named Judas that walked into the cemetery where Judas Iscariot was buried. And you're going to see, after he took his life and after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and I imagine they stood over that grave and probably paused for a moment and said,
what in the world have you done with my name? Because there were a lot of people named Judas, a lot of guys named Judas.
And I'm sure they got confronted. Are you the one? Are you the one that betrayed Jesus? And so he took the name that was very, very positive, and he did something with it. Judas also comes from a totally different background than did the other 11 disciples. He was counted as one of the disciples. And the other 11 were from Galilee, if you want to make note of that. They were from Galilee at the top, where Judas was from Judea down at the bottom. You remember we had Galilee at the top, Samaria, mixed breeds, and then you have Judah down at the bottom. Well, all the other 11 disciples were from Judah. Judas Iscariot was from Galilee. He was a man with some education, and we would call him a city man. He was a city man, and the others were farmers or fishermen or laborers with little or no formal education, and so he was kind of distant. So I don't know what that caused as far as their interaction and their friendship and everything, but Judas Iscariot was a little bit different. If you have your Bibles, let's look now and see what the New Testament says about Judas here.
Sorry, Emery. Where was he from? Where was Judas?
Oh, he was from Galilee.
Galilee.
At the top.
And the rest of them were from?
From Judea, down at the bottom. The long, skinny, and Samaria was in the middle.
Okay.
And remember, those were the half-breeds. But he was up there at the very top. And they were all down here from the bottom. Jerusalem is down in Judea, down here.
Okay.
And so he was a city boy from Galilee. But he was chosen. Keep that in mind through this whole lesson today. He was chosen. Let's look and see what the New Testament says about Judas as we pick up some of these verses, what they said about it. If you would turn to, he's listed among the 12 disciples. Turn to Matthew 10:4. Matthew 10:4. I'm going to look at each one of these. Remember the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not identical, but in many cases, they're similar in the narrative of the life of Christ. They wrote from a different perspective, and Matthew being Jewish, Matthew was a Jewish kind of a tax collector. Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, it says, he's listing the disciples here. Let's back up here to verse 2. Let's do this. And now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first is Simon, who is called Peter, Simon Peter, and Andrew his brother. Simon Peter and Andrew are brothers, and James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. James and John were brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee, better known as the sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. And I have two sons. They're named James and John, the sons of thunder. Yes. And it also says, verse 3, there was Philip, there was Bartholomew, there was Thomas, Doubting Thomas, and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot. It lists him here last, who also betrayed him. He's listed among the other 12 disciples here. The second thing the New Testament says about it is Jesus referred to him as the devil. Turn to John 6. John 6. We're gospel hopping now. John 6. John 6, verse number 70. Jesus answered them saying, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? Now listen, you may question how Jesus chose Judas Iscariot. It's since he's supposed to know everything, why did he choose someone that he knew how he was going to behave? We're going to get to that at the end. Why? But Jesus chose these 12 disciples. And one of the ones he chosen was Judas Iscariot. And it says in verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus referred to him as the devil. Luke chapter 6, verse 16, he referred to Judas as the traitor. Really nice guy, isn't he? The traitor, 6:16. Let's start with verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and lastly, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, lastly, the brother of James, and then the last Judas, Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Luke called him a traitor. Do you see in that list there that there was someone else in the 12 that had the name Judas? It's a very common name. But Luke comes down here as he's talking about Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 12, verse 6. John chapter 12, verse 6. If you remember, this is a gathering at Simon the leper's house. This was a gathering at Simon the leper's house. The Bible says that Mary and Martha were there. They were preparing the meal. All the disciples were there. You remember Lazarus was there also, the Bible says. And if you remember, let me refresh your memory, just a couple of weeks before that, Lazarus had died. You remember? And Jesus raised him from the dead. So once again, do you think he was glad to be at this party? He was ecstatic to be there. He was the center of conversation at this party. And that's when they were talking about, well, Lazarus, we heard something about you, that you died, came back. Yeah, let me tell you what happened. All I know is I died, and all of a sudden I came back, and I walk out of the tomb, and there's Jesus there, and I've never been the same. And so everybody was enamored with what was going on. And remember, Martha was out in the kitchen preparing the meal because she had the Sister Martha syndrome. And she's out there in the kitchen. And you remember Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening and learning. And so she was so tuned in. The Bible says that she got up and left and went into another room. And she got what is called an alabaster box. And inside of it was a very precious perfume. Very precious. And she came into the room. And she went over to Jesus. And she broke the alabaster box. And the perfume fell all over him. She anointed him. You remember the story. Judas Iscariot, on a scale from 1 to 10, had a 34. He exploded. How could you have done that? Why did you do that? Well, we could have... See, that perfume was worth 300 denarii. That was a year's worth of wages. He said, we could have taken that money and we could have given it to the poor. And Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you. But you're not always going to have me. And so he rebuked Judas for Judas rebuking Mary. And that didn't set too well with our claim to fame guy today. Because what happened here is that if you will look at John chapter 12, verse 6, it says here that Jesus said to him, verse 5, let's go back. This is where Judas popped off. Why was this not ointment sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He didn't care about the poor. What did he care about? The money. This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a what?
Thief.
And he had the bag. Money bag. Man, y'all doing great. And he bore what was put in it. He had the bag and he could take money out of it, put money in. He never put money in, he'd take money out. And Jesus knew all this. So Jesus said, verse 7, Jesus said, let her alone against the day of my burying, she has kept this. For the poor you'll always have with you, but you're not always going to have me. You're not always going to have me. And so what happened here is Jesus called him, he really called him a thief here. John called him a thief in the book of John. Luke called him a traitor. Jesus called him the devil. He was well liked among the club of 12, wasn't he? And so this is Judas Iscariot that we're looking at. Now let's look at some actions and decisions that Judas made. Actions and decisions. When Jesus rebuked him at Simon the leper's house and got onto him for getting onto Mary, the Bible says that Judas left and he went and he made a deal with the chief priest. Matthew 26. Flip over back to Matthew. Go from John back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. It's keeping the events in order for you here. They don't record all the events in all of the Gospels. So Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Then one of the twelve, this is right after, this is where Matthew is recording this event at Simon the leper's house. So in verse number 14, Matthew says, then one of the twelve, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest, and he said to them, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they agreed with him, made a covenant with him, that they would give him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. And so he made a deal with the chief priest that he was going to turn Jesus over to them. And so he couldn't take it anymore. He decided to talk to these chief priests and offer to deliver Jesus up to them. And the traitor had begun his work. And so the next thing he did is Jesus foretold the betrayal. Listen, Judas did not slip up on Jesus. Don't think that he hoodwinked Jesus. Jesus knew what was going on. So turn to Matthew 26, 25. Just slide on down there a few verses. And it says, then Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? They're in the upper room now. And Jesus got through in the red letter edition right before that verse right there, was foretelling the betrayal. But he never would come out with a name. And so he tells about the Son of Man that is written about him. What's going to happen? Verse 25, then Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, and Jesus answered, thou hast said, which means you are right. You are right. And so Jesus knew about this. And the Bible says that as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and he gave it to the disciples. And they did the communion with the wine and everything. Judas left immediately. He left immediately. He if you look at John chapter 13, verse 30, this gives us our verse here of him vacating that special party in the upper room. John chapter 13. Verse 30. Once again, this is one of the Gospels. It gives you another little tidbit about the story. You can't get it all in one Gospel, so that's why you have to read all four of them to see, get complete narrative here. And it says here, let's go up to verse 26. And Jesus answered, It is to whom I shall give the sop of bread, and when I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into Judas. Then he said unto Jesus, Jesus said to him, that thou doest, go do quickly. And he left the room immediately. Verse 28 says, now no man at the table knew what intent he spake unto him about. They didn't know. They were clueless. But for some of them, they thought Judas had the bag and that Jesus said to them, go buy some things that we may need. Remember, Judas had the bag. So some of them thought, well, he was sending Judas out on an errand. He was going to send him for a taco run or something. They were going to go send him out. He had the money. Or maybe he would be giving something to the poor. Verse 29 says that. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, Jesus, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He immediately left them up in the upper room, and he went out. He went out because his plan was already in place to betray Jesus. Matthew 26:47-50 is our next action and decision of Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus in the garden. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus and the disciples left the upper room. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, he was on his way to the cross to die for you and I. He stops off at a garden to pray. He stopped. He took three of the disciples over, the strongest ones, and he told them to pray. And he went back and he told the rest of the disciples to pray. Three over there, eight over here. Just pray. And that's the story, which we're not going to go into, that you know about, where there were three times he went back to the disciples to check on them, and they were sleeping. And he got them up because he knew what was fixing to happen. They stood up with him, the 11 disciples, with Jesus, and in walked in the garden, walked Judas Iscariot with the Roman soldiers. This was his plan to betray and to turn him over. And so he was leading the soldiers in, and he told them that the man that he went up and gave a kiss on the cheek would be he, Jesus, and they could grab him. And so it says here in 26, beginning with verse number 47, and while he yet spoke, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, knives, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. He's only kidding. Hail, Master. And kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. And they were going to arrest him. And so Jesus, that's a correction here. Y'all called it, Judas betrayed Jesus in the garden. Not Jesus can't betray Jesus. Can he?
No.
Bobby, can Jesus can't betray Jesus, can he? Okay. What's your card say? Judas?
Yeah.
Carol's right. Emery's wrong. Carol Martin's right. Emery's wrong. Judas betrayed Jesus in the garden. Matthew 26. Okay. Oh, she's great. But Judas was remorseful, if you remember that. This is one of his actions in Matthew 27. We're still in Matthew. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10. When the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They've arrested him now. They're trying to figure out a way to put him to death. They want him done. The chief priests and the religious leaders wanted him dead, out of their sight. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, he pops up again, that goober. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw what it was that he was condemned, he repented himself. Now stay with me here. Don't misuse the word repent. Repent means, wow, I didn't mean what I said. I want to go back on it. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver. He brought the silver they paid him to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed this innocent blood. He's remorseful now. And they said, What is that to us? What do we care? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He threw it at their feet. He departed, and he did what? He went and hung himself. I would say he's remorseful. They didn't want the silver back. Like he could stop what was fixing to happen. Jesus is going to go to the cross. Why was Judas chosen? I've thought about this. Maybe you have. How could Jesus choose a person like this? If Jesus has a way of beholding and knowing his heart. Matthew 26:56. Go back a couple of pages in your Bible. 26:56. And it said, verse 55, in the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against me as a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily in the temple with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They scattered like a covey of quail. What Jesus was saying right here, that every one of the disciples was chosen for the purpose. Even Judas Iscariot, he was chosen. He was chosen as a disciple to be with the group. You may not understand this totally, but he was chosen to be the one to betray Jesus, to turn him over. Jesus is not afraid of going to the cross. That's another story which we've done in this class before. And they were in the garden praying those three times. Jesus just checked in with the Father three times and said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass me. Cup of pain, the cup of the passion of the cross, let this pass from me. If that's what you want to do, you can stop this right now. You know, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Three times he prayed the same thing. I'm just checking in with you. Are you wanting me to go to the cross? If you're wanting me to go to the cross, I'm going. I'm going to be obedient even unto death, the Bible says. I'll be obedient to you. But if you want to stop it and change it, here's your opportunity. Now, he wasn't weenying out now. He was just checking in with the Father. And the Father probably breathed into his ear, go to the cross. Go to the cross. If this is God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross and die for me and you, then it was also in God's plan for someone close to him to betray him and turn him over. So what are you saying, Emery? Did God use Judas? Well, in a way he did. In a way he did. And so Judas was chosen as one of the 12 in order to fulfill the purpose that God had for him in the betrayal of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the biggest question probably. Let me go over some lessons with you. Then I want to close with something that's pretty controversial, and probably y'all are going to disagree, and it's okay. It's all right. Let me give you some lessons to learn from Judas. Number one, there is no sin worse than denying Christ, because you cannot accept his way above your own way. The unpardonable sin is doing despite to the Spirit of grace. It's the Spirit of grace that draws us to him. And so the unpardonable sin is saying no to Jesus. I know a lot of people, even today, and for years, they want to list some other things that are unpardonable sins that if you do. And let me just say right now, this is my opinion. Maybe you were taught another way. This is my opinion. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin. I know there's a groups of people that teach that. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that's saying no to Jesus, to the Spirit of grace. That's what Jesus said the unpardonable sin is. But you're going to be around some people that say if you commit suicide, you won't spend eternity in heaven. That is not true. The Bible says once Emery accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Bible says that I am his forever. Unless he commits suicide. I am his forever. The mode of death, listen to me folks, because some of you disagreeing with me already, I can tell. The mode of death does not determine your destination. The mode of death does not determine your destination. So, Judas did not go to hell because he committed suicide. Is God pleased with suicide? No, he's not pleased with it. But the Bible says that once you're a believer, it's called I believe in the security of the believer. I can't take my salvation away. God gave it to me. When I invited him to come into my heart, he came into my heart. And the Bible says forever, forever and forever. It is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is saying no. And the Spirit of grace calls on a person to be saved, and they say no. They say no. They say no. Another thing we can learn from it is betrayal still takes place, not only with Judas. There's people betraying Jesus today. How often have we witnessed followers of Christ who show bitter and cruel and impatient, you know? But it just doesn't take place in Judas. Betrayal. Believers today can betray. They can betray. Number three, Jesus went to his own place. Judas did what he did because of sin. It was Judas's choice to take his life. To the end, Christ gave Judas a chance to change, even called him a friend before the kiss of death. If you go back and look at that verse where he kissed him, in one of the Gospels, he called him a friend. He said, friend, before the kiss of death. But it was Judas's choice to take his life. Next one is the path of sin always goes from bad to worse. It doesn't go from bad to good. The path of sin always goes from bad to worse. And the speed picks up and we go down, down, down. Last one, it is possible to hear the word of God. He was there. He heard the word of God, Judas did. And his power in many lives, he saw it. He walked with the disciples and saw what Jesus did. And yet it refused to accept him and give him his life. Thus, many times that happens to us, and there are people that continue to be lost. They've seen, they've heard, they've witnessed, and they still say, I don't believe it. And here's the question. Was Judas saved or lost? My opinion, he was lost as a goose. Just because he was chosen to be in the club, and just because he traveled with the disciples, and just because they made him treasurer of the club,
and
can't be both. One or the other. You can't be lost or saved. You either lost or saved. Can't. I believe he was lost as a goose. His faith was on the man of following in this group. I believe that Judas Iscariot did not know Christ personally. And that's my opinion. Ralph?
The perfect picture of forgiveness is that he was bound to the cross and asked for forgiveness, that Jesus would have forgiven him.
And it would happen.
And it would have happened. But he had to make a choice. And Satan really told him, nobody cares.
Nobody cares? You're not wanted.
I mean, you try to take the money back to the priest. So nobody cares about you. There's nothing left for you to do now except to go out.
This is a question. If you're not sure what the answer is, you may want to research. But the Word of God talks about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never had it. Just because Judas was accounted with the other 11 doesn't mean he was really one of the other 11. But in my opinion, I don't believe he was saved. And I hope that doesn't destroy your relationship with me. Because I'm saved and I know it. And my mode of death is not going to determine my destiny. Yes, Carol.
I wanted to ask you a question about something. I've often wondered about this. This was a friend of ours. He was a deacon. And everybody looked up to him. I mean, and it was just a real moment. He had 5 or 6 sons. He had a beautiful, godly wife. Well, this man, he left his family for another woman and returned to her. And they found out, they called the deacons to go and pray over him because he was dying. And he was screaming, saying he was entering into hell. So, I mean, that's, maybe he wasn't ever saved. I don't know, but he—that's how he died. He was screaming that, and the they prayed with him and everything. He said, I'm going into hell. And he was screaming. They said it was awful. And that's how that man died.
Yeah, I believe that. If you want to kind of look at some of the verses, let me, based on what Carol's saying, let me give you some, because the fact that all of this was foreordained in God's plan does not excuse Judas or absolve him from the punishment. As Ralph said, he could have at the cross, he could have, anytime he could have fallen on his knees and asked for forgiveness, and he didn't. He took matters in his own hands. And he took his life. Later on, you may want to look up Matthew 27. Let's do it. Let's look up Matthew 27, verses 5 through 8. 27, 5 through 8. I've just gone ahead and upset some of y'all, so I might as well go all the way. verse 27, 5 through 8. Aunt Emery's a heretic. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for us to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them to the potter's field to bury the strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. That he preferred to commit suicide, which to me, and this comes back to counseling, suicide, and I know I've got people in here that had this experience in your family, to me it's the most selfish decision a person can make.
Yes, it is.
Most selfish decision a person can make. And this is what Judas did. Was included in the group. Judas had faith, but he did not have truth-saving faith. I don't believe he was ever saved. For a time, he was a follower of Christ, and then he took it in a matter into his own hands and took his life. That may be something that you walk away from Bible study at this church, because I know what James chapter 3, verse 1 says. It means to let there not be many teachers, for we shall receive a greater condemnation. I know that I feel a responsibility when I teach up here that some of y'all, if you agree with me or you disagree with me, if you disagree with me, then go out and research it. If you agree with me, be careful. Don't write down everything I say. But you need to research something like this. This is a question you have about a simple question. Was Judas saved or lost? I believe he was lost. Go and research it and see what your research brings about in your heart and mind. The Bible says, do not lean to your own understanding. Okay? And sometimes our understanding, we think it ought to be this way. And sometimes that's contrary to what the Word of God says. Judas Iscariot. I believe if my name was Judas Smith, I'd have changed my name. What have you done with my name? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this controversial goober, guy that betrayed Jesus. He had every opportunity not to do it. He had every opportunity. What was God of his life was what was in that bag. That was what was God of his life. And then when he realized what he had done, he took matter in his own hands. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Cause us to dig into it if we don't agree. Cause us to find out truth. And you want us to, the beauty of studying God's word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.